Now, on with the show.
This is Mouse World Radio. Bringing the world to your world. This is Walt Disney World Today Live. Call 407-278-5WDW to get on the show. That's 407-278-5939. And now, your host, Matt Hochberg.
Thank you, Mr. Voice. And this is the this is the live show for WDW Today. And it's being sponsored by AllEars.net, your one-stop shop for Walt Disney World, the Disney Cruise Line, Disneyland, and of course Walt Disney World. All Ears has menus of all the Walt Disney World restaurants, comprehensive photos of all the resorts, sections on traveling with special challenges, and more. Be sure to subscribe to All Ears, a weekly email newsletter all about Walt Disney World, and join over 126,000 other subscribers who receive a dose of pixie dust in their inbox each week. Visit AllEars.net today. It's Saturday, January 29th, 2011, and it's the live show for January 2011 of WDW Today. I'm Matt Hochberg of StudioCentral.com. Joining me on today's show is Mike Scopa, a senior feature writer and blogger for AllEars.net. Welcome on.
Matt, you know, we've been doing this act for over 300 million years.
We've been doing this act for 300 million... A dinosaur? I don't know.
No.
300 million years. No idea.
And it's
tough. Wait. Stupid Judy, Energy Adventure.
No.
I got no.
It's tough to be a bug.
Oh, yes.
Nice. Also joining us on today's show is Alain Tessa, co-author of The Adventure Guide to Walt Disney World. What?
How's it going, Matt?
Outstanding. We had a little technical difficulty, but now I think we're smooth sailing, hopefully. And also joining us on today's show is Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Welcome, Mike.
I'm Max. W is six, so Union sent me.
Nice. Good old Muppets reference. Never enough of those. Also joining us on today's show is the fabulous Annette Owens, a manager of customer relations and group services for MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. Welcome, Annette.
Hey, guys. I'm going to try to hang on as long as possible. This is about as good as the voice gets.
So. She's sick.
I know.
She's sick.
Too much cruising, I guess. I don't know.
And Mike, we still have our special guest?
Yeah.
Right. Also joining us on today's show is Fred Block of Magic Meats. Welcome to the show, Fred.
Hey, give him a second. There he is. Fred.
Yes.
There he is.
Here I am.
These amateurs I deal with.
All right, so welcome to the show, Fred.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
And we're taking your calls. I know we're a little few minutes late. We apologize for the technical difficulties, but our phone lines are open, and you can call us now at 407. What is our number? Oh, 278-5939. It's on my video screen. I should see it.
How long have we been doing this, and we don't know our phone number?
Over 300 million years.
It's one of those nights, folks.
We're going to have our first call from Donna from Hawaii.
Oh,
hi, Donna.
Aloha. How are you?
Aloha.
Things are nice and toasty here. I'm actually sitting on the sidelines of my son's soccer game, and I was just kept hitting redial, hoping I'd get through. So if it gets loud,
that's awesome.
I'm trying to move away. Anyway, so my question is, we are about 2 weeks away from registration for the Wine and Dine half. And my question is, after listening to, you know, your trip reports and the people who ran and some of the things they were disappointed in, in your opinion, do you think they're going to fix the mistakes that they made or fix the problems that they had by the time, you know, the next race comes around? Or should I hold on to my $300 for two registrations and wait a year?
I know that, Donna, that within several weeks following the race, the committee had meetings. And I talked to someone who is privy to those, and they said they're trying to address every issue that was raised this past year. It was their first attempt. Very hard to do things for the first time, even when you've got the experience that Disney has with races. The problem was that they never really, I don't think, imagined that there would be this kind of popularity for such a race a half marathon that's being run at night. So they need to address a lot of issues. I think the course was the least of their issues. I think the issues were mostly what happened after the race, what was going on in Epcot. I think they have to figure out maybe where the race should end, and they have to figure out what to do with that after race party, because that was the biggest issue, and I think it's going to work out. I wouldn't want to tell you not to go, not to try it, because
right.
of what you heard. I'm planning on running it again, I think.
Okay, so that answers my question right there. I was just thinking, if you guys weren't going to do it, then I would definitely hold off a year. But, I mean, if you're already ready to sign up for another. Because, see, I'm going with my husband, and he's not as big a Disney fan as I am. And this race is kind of how I'm getting him there. And if things don't go well, I might never get to Disney World with him again.
So he's a runner? Donna, is he a runner?
Well, yeah, he's not a big runner. We've never done a race this size. Out here in Hawaii, we have something called the Great Aloha Run, and that's 8 miles, and that's the farthest we've ever gone. So this is a big step for us to do this. And, I don't want to get there and have him go, is this what Disney races are like, blah, blah, and then, we'll never get to do something like this again. So that's why I was kind of hesitant. I was thinking, oh, my gosh, if it doesn't go well, that's $300 that I could have spent somewhere else, doing something cool, especially with the food festival going on. We could have taken one of those, done one of the extra parties or the tastings or whatever for that kind of money.
There are a lot of components to this race that I think were better than the components for the weekend, the Walt Disney World Marathon weekend. One of the things is that, Len, please chime in on this. I think that the corral organization was better. It was a lot easier. The pre-race conditions were a lot easier. The weather is better. The problem is, for those people who are looking to do a personal record, this is not the race to do that. The time of the race is an issue. And again, the big thing is after the race. They need to address that. But other than that, after the race and the course being at night, which is a problem for some people, I think it's a perfect time of year to have a race down there, to have a half marathon down there.
That's what I'm hoping for. And then what will the crowds be like the following week? Because we're coming down just, the day or two before the race for 10 days. Are we going to have light crowds that week?
That's Len's job.
Yeah,
it's, so that's what, the second week of
Yep. It's
second week of October shouldn't be too bad.
It should be that first full week of October, because isn't the race the whatever, second or third or whatever that Saturday is?
Well, let me just check.
The first one of the first days in October, I know that.
Yeah, one sec, I'll just
check.
Oh, 40th anniversary.
Yeah, so
I know. Well, that's the thing. I think that the race October 1st is on the 40th anniversary. So then I was wondering, I wonder if they'll push the race a week and have it the second weekend of October, because you think they'll still do it.
I think they will, for a variety of reasons. One is that's sort of what they did that year. It's actually going to be – so that week following isn't bad. We've got twos, threes, and fours on the crowd calendar. You've also got some tentative Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party dates towards the end of the week there too, so that should be fun.
Should be good. All right. Well, that answers everything. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Donna.
Cool. Thanks, Donna.
All right. Aloha.
Aloha.
Enjoy the Pro Bowl.
407-278-5939 is our phone number, and we have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
This is Barry in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Hey, buddy. What's up?
I got a quick question for you. We are going to Disney World next Wednesday.
Okay.
We set up this trip last year, not realizing it was Super Bowl week, and not even considering the possibility that our beloved Green Bay Packers would be playing in the Super Bowl.
So you want to know where to watch the big game?
I'm guessing ESPN Zone, but do you know any other places that do Super Bowl parties? Or if I have to go to ESPN Zone, how early would I have to get there?
Ooh. All right, so here's the thing. We just did a blog post for February. It's over at blog.touringplans.com. It actually addresses this specific question about where to watch the Super Bowl. So let me go through it real quick. Do you have a car? Are you going to be?
Yeah, we'll have a rental.
You have a rental. Okay, cool. Are you willing to go offsite for the game too?
Yeah, if there's a good Packer bar in town, that'd be awesome.
All right, so there are Packer bars in town. So let's see. All right, so obviously there's the ESPN Zone. There's the Orlando Ale House on Winter Garden Vineland Road. There's Frogger's Grill and Bar, or Friday's Front Row, both in Orlando too. So if you go to packerbars.com, they'll have a complete list.
Awesome.
If ESPN, you should get there about 3 or 4 hours ahead of time, so you're going to need to get
easily.
There.
Oh, it's going to be packed.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks a lot.
No problem. Good luck. I mean, good luck finding a spot. I hope you don't win, but go ahead.
Yeah, I know. You're the big
pitcher. Yeah, I know. Oh, I know. I mean, yeah, have a safe trip is what I'm saying, dude. But, you know, I can't. All right, man.
Go Green Bay. Go Green Bay.
Good luck on your trip, anyway.
You won't find Big Ben in a bar. Well, maybe you will.
Go Pack.
No.
Go Pack.
We have our next caller on the line. Who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Kat.
Kat?
Hey, how's it going?
I've got a couple questions for you. Hold on a second.
Pull the car over.
So I'm running the NASCAR.
Put the plane in park.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I'm running the Princess Half Marathon in February, cool. And I had a couple questions for you. First of all, have you guys experienced the guys that have run it? Have you guys experienced any problems running as guys? I've heard rumors of people. Mostly, I guess, more serious marathoners complaining that people were kind of making fun of them for running or stuff like that.
Kat, no. I ran here, and it was fun. I can tell you a little bit of an experience. I don't know how many people have heard this, but when you're running for 13 miles, every once in a while, nature calls. And so I decided that I was going to answer nature at the TTC. So as you get to the TTC – you run to the far right, and I went into the men's room. And as I was in the men's room, I noticed that there were many princesses coming in. And while I was there, they all looked at me, and the guy next to me, it was like being in a National Lampoon movie, because we both looked at each other and we just screamed, you know. This guy was standing next to me, and then these women, a couple of them stopped and said to me, "Well, you know, this is our day," and they all said, "This is a unisex bathroom today." So other than that, I didn't have any problems. Every once in a while, you know, you might have a Florida State Trooper make a little comment. But other than that, it was fun, you know?
Okay, cool. Go ahead.
Absolutely fine. It was, I mean, no problems whatsoever.
Okay. What is the latest you would suggest, and I don't mind rushing if I get there late, but I don't want to miss, like, the last bus heading out there. But if you're running the race, what's kind of the latest you could plan on catching a bus and still actually have a bus for you?
Are they starting at 5:30 or 6?
I think that the Princess is a 6 a.m. start. It's not as big as the half. It's about, again, I don't know what kind of volume. I mean, last year I think they had 13,000, so that's a lot less than the half.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I think we started at 6, and I think the buses started going about the same time they did for the January race. So about 3:30, 4 o'clock is when the bus – I would not – and there'll be some instructions that you'll get at the expo, but I would give yourself. Where are you going to be staying?
French Quarter.
Okay, I would say get on the bus at least within the first 30 minutes that they're available, just to play it safe. We don't know if that bus that's picking you up at the French Quarter will be stopping off at other resorts, you know, you just want to make sure you're there in time, because you want to get into the corrals. It's the same course as the January course. Not as crowded, but you want to make sure you're going to be there in time. So I'd say plan on leaving your resort sometime between 3:30 and 4 o'clock, maybe.
Exactly.
Okay.
A.M.
And the other question I had, my wife's actually doing the we're actually both doing the Wild Africa Trek, so we're really excited about
that. Oh, I just did that. Just did that a couple weeks ago.
what lens would you suggest using? Because I know we can't take multiple and switch them in and out.
I'm not the photographer, but most of the stuff that you're looking at is a fairly decent distance away. The elephants are still going to be, and the larger game are going to be 50 to 100 yards away from you, if that helps.
Okay.
What type of lenses do you have, just out of curiosity?
My wife's the photographer. She said she's trying to choose between a zoom lens or a mid-range lens.
I'd go mid-range.
Yeah.
I would do something that's going to probably be between a 200mm or a 300mm zoom if you're going to want to get detail. Okay. That's what I would say.
Okay.
Cool. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks a lot.
407-278-5939 is our phone. Let's go to Andrew in Long Island. Hey, Andrew.
How are you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
I like your opinion on a couple of things related to Disney World.
It stinks.
Yeah, don't go. No, just kidding. No.
It might catch on, but we don't know.
Yeah, I'm rooting for it, man. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
All right. First of all, the revisions to the Fantasyland expansion, and secondly, the fact that DVC owners will no longer be able to use resale points to towards their stay non-DVC hotels such as the Grand Floridian.
Ah, two good topics right there. Thank you, Andrew. All right, Len, what do you think about the Fantasyland expansion? Let's start with that first question.
I like the fact that they're putting in the Seven Dwarves mine train ride now. I fear that's the end of Snow White, right? And I'm pretty sure it is. But if you look at the amount of land that they're taking up for the mine train ride, that looks to be a pretty big expansion. So what got cut from that? Some meet and greet?
Yep. Bunch of meet and greet. Obviously, yeah, Snow White.
Fine. Yeah, that's scary. Fine. Let it happen. So I think they're moving the meet and greets over to Snow White, right?
Yeah, they're rearranging a lot. A lot of the princess stuff, the fairies are gone.
Good.
Pixie Hollow. What do you think of it, Scopa?
I was on mute. I think that I'm still kind of waiting to see if all these plans will come into play. I know that a few months ago we were worried about whether or not what was being said was going to be finalized. I think that what you're going to see is the introduction of, I think the biggest deal is going to be the new sit-down restaurant. I think that park is in desperate need of another sit-down restaurant. I like that. Still not too crazy about having another castle there. I think that the addition of the extra Dumbo ride is going to be good. I think that the thing that I'm kind of questioning is the aerial ride, the aerial traction that's going to take place.
That's going to be fine.
It's okay. I just, wondering, how that's going to work.
My only concern is that the rides that they're adding, like the new mine coaster that Len just mentioned, and some of the, I know the Voyage of the Little Mermaid, I don't think qualifies this, but I'm just hoping that these aren't off the shelf attractions like Disney likes to do lately.
There's no way. They're not going to do it in Fantasyland. There's no way.
I don't know. I mean, it's like what they did in Disneyland Paris. They did all those, that whole Toy Story expansion, and they just took these off the, basically they buy attractions from companies like Vekoma or these other major roller coaster manufacturers and just retheme them to make them, not look quite as silly just by themselves. But I'm really hoping they're going to do some real Imagineering here and really go back to that great attractions that, that Disney's known for. So I'm hoping they're not going to do the cheap way on the roller coaster here. The other question Andrew had was about DVC and, now, if you buy resale, starting forward, not going backwards, but going forward, if you buy a DVC resale, you can no longer use the points towards non-DVC resort stays. Like, you can't use them anymore to stay at Pop Century or any of the hotels that, except for the Grand California Villas and Disneyland or the Disney Cruise Line. And I guess it makes most sense to ask Mr. Newell, since he's a DVC owner. Mike, what do you think of this change?
It doesn't affect me because I never stay anywhere but a DVC resort, so quite frankly, it doesn't make a difference to me.
Okay. I know you do buy resale from time to time.
Yes.
So, but since it's not your style, I guess that doesn't bother you, right?
No, since I stay at DVC anyway, I use the points exclusively for DVC. So,
Fred, what about you? You're a DVC owner.
No, I'm not, actually.
Oh, you're not? Never mind.
I was about to say,
congratulations, Fred.
Did I just win something?
Thanks for playing.
Yeah. here's the interesting thing. So I was talking to Laurel about this today. Between now and the time that the conversion happens, which is in May is the cutoff, right? The point value should go up because points that you buy between now and May should be more valuable than points that you buy afterwards, because points you buy between now and May you can do more things with, right?
Yeah. The thing with it is that it was always a terrible value to use your points for any non-DVC. So like if you want to say like the Grand Floridian, rather, which has no DVC, it's just a terrible value. The cruise line's the same way. I just know that people do use them. We were actually talking about it at lunch today, and it's some people do use them for like a lot of times. I think the most common instance where people do use that is like they've got extra points to burn, from a promotion or something like that or whatever. But I think most people were in the same camp as Newell that they just never used it. And you never used your points to stay at a non-DVC place, did you?
No, never used them for the cruise, never non-Disney. No.
It's a bad value anyway, so Disney's kind of doing you a favor anyway.
Right, I mean, it's a lot of points to stay at, let's say, Caribbean Beach. So it never made sense to me to do that.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Let's go to our next call. Hey, who are we speaking with?
Elizabeth from Vancouver.
Hey, Elizabeth. What's up?
Hey. I was calling because I'm going to the Princess Half Marathon in February. And
this is marathon night?
It's right, Davey. Running's big. Disney Running's big.
WDW Marathon today?
I guess, yeah. Wow. We're the Star Wars callers. Come on.
Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Okay. So my question is, we are arriving Thursday night, and I'm wondering if we should pick up our race packets on Friday morning or Saturday morning.
You're doing the marathon?
For the Hollywood. Oh, sorry.
Elizabeth, you're running the marathon. You're not running the half marathon. You're running the marathon.
No, the half.
You're running the princess, right?
Yeah, the princess.
Oh, keep the up, princess. Scopa. Keep up. I'm sorry. It really doesn't matter. The what was funny this past January, I found, I don't know when you, but the crowds on Friday were bigger to pick up the race packets than they were on Thursday. But you've got two races. You've got more than two races here. So I don't really think it matters. If I were going down to run, I'd pick them up before. I would not pick them up Friday. I think I'd go Thursday if you could, Thursday afternoon. But if you can't, I'd say go early Friday morning. The earlier the better.
Are you staying on site?
Yeah, we're staying at the Port Orleans Riverside. And the pickup days are Friday or Saturday. And I know there's the 5K
race is on Sunday.
Saturday.
Yeah, here's the thing. So here's the thing. If you go Friday and pick it up, you could go to Morning Extra Magic Hours at the studios on Saturday.
Oh.
But if you went to the studios on Friday, you'd miss the Morning Extra Magic Hours on Saturday. If you don't mind getting up early, I would go on Friday. And assuming you can get to the park, at 8 a.m. On Saturday, I would go do that.
Yeah, I agree with Lynn. The thing is, Liz, you have to get up early. You got to get up early a day or two before to get used to getting up real, real early anyway. So
yeah,
what Lynn's
well.
Suggesting makes sense.
And you should totally make your family suffer with you, too. So you should get up at 3 o'clock.
Exactly.
Or 2:30. Yeah.
Yeah, so you're saying go to the studios on Saturday and pick up the packets on Friday?
Yep.
That's what I'm thinking too. What were you planning on doing on Friday?
We were going to go to the studios on Friday, and I was toying around with the idea of picking up the packets on Friday and then going to the studios, but I was afraid that would make us miss out on stuff because we get there so late.
Yeah, it would. It's the Wide World of Sports doesn't open until what, 10 to pick up the packets?
Yeah, the packet starts at 10. Yeah.
Yeah, so you mean you're not going to get to the studios till 11:15, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's a little late. I'd go Friday. Go to a park Friday till like lunchtime, and then are you gonna have a car?
No, that's the other thing is that Friday we don't have a car, but a friend is joining us on Saturday, and she will have a car. So if we go on Friday, we'd have to take the bus to pick up the packets, which isn't a big deal because we're staying on property at one of the resorts.
So it's you and who else?
It's me and my sister on Friday. We're actually the ones running in the race, and then two friends are joining us on Saturday that aren't running in the race.
I'd say do this, right? Go to a park Friday till like noon, and then hop on a bus either to back to your resort and then ride World of Sports, or I don't know if they're running – they probably won't be running buses directly from the parks to Wide World of Sports, but if you could either go back to Port Orleans and then take a bus to Wide World of Sports, or just walk to the nearest hotel and take a bus to Wide World of Sports, like around lunchtime.
Okay.
It's gonna take a little bit longer, right? But yeah. It's not gonna be terribly longer, and you'll get some morning touring done. And then when you're done, go take a nap, and then go back to whatever park you want for the evening.
Okay, so you think. Take care of the packet pickup on Friday and just get underway.
Yeah. Lunchtime-ish Friday. I think you'll be fine.
Okay, awesome. That sounds like a good plan. And then my other question is, I don't know if you guys will know this, but are one of the, is like the food court there at Port Orleans Riverside going to be open before we catch the bus to go to the race start?
They were for the half marathon. Everything was open like at 2 or 2:30 in the morning. But the thing that, I said at Caribbean Beach, the thing that they did that was super cool was they actually had these little boxed breakfasts with a bagel, cream cheese, a banana, a granola bar, and a bottle of water that you could buy for like $6 the night before.
Oh.
And that was way cool. Yeah, so I mean, just literally, they had them all at the registers. You went by and picked them up, paid for them, and took them with you. That was way easier because it's less walking, you know, but it's less walking between resorts. If you're, which Port Orleans are you at?
Riverside.
Okay, so there is some walking back and forth from your room to the lobby, but check the food court Friday night or Saturday night and see if they have them out Saturday afternoon, Saturday night. See if they've got them out, because that you know a bagel will keep for a day. You know, the granola bar, the banana, that'll all keep for a day if you buy it like Saturday afternoon. I would do that.
Cool. 407-278-5939 is our number. Lots of calls today. Let's keep the thing rolling here. And we have our next call on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
This is Mike from Minneapolis, Atomic Mickey.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Mike. You're a longtime listener. You know, you've been listening for a while.
I've been listening for many years and have never been able to call in because I'm the family planner for Walt Disney World vacations in the house, and it's always top secret. So I never risk speaking out loud to you guys, kids and wife and family around. So
what's your marathon question, Mike?
On my headphones, you guys are still talking about the marathon, so
awesome.
I can go on for a while. I got a whole bunch of questions here, obviously. We're going down for 4 days on the Dream next week, sailing
nice.
On the 6th.
And, nice.
It's going to be awesome. It's a big family trip. 13 of us going down. It's my folks' 50th
wow.
wedding anniversary, and we're going in style. So,
wow.
Yeah, and I'm the guy that's putting the whole thing together, so of course I'm the most nervous of the bunch. But I got a few questions for you, a couple of cruise ship questions, and then a couple WDW questions as well. The couple of cruise things I want to know is, we've got the late dining, which I think seats at 8:30. And they've got that pirate party and the fireworks and stuff that happens afterwards. And I wonder whether we're going to run smack into that party. Annette or Mike, do you have anything to say that starts? And if we're going to need to eat really quickly on a night like that?
Well, I can tell you that my point I made to him was 8:30 was a little late to start dinner, period. But I don't think anybody, you know, listened. We did the live show that we did the pre-pirate party that they do for the families. So we went and participated in some of that before we went to eat. Because we would have missed some of that had we gone to dinner. So kind of doing a little pre before you go to dinner and then go down and have dinner and then come back up. Then you can get in there when they're dancing and the fireworks start. The cruise we were on, the staff was still learning, so it was a little slower.
Okay, all right. But we're not going to miss fireworks or anything by eating at 8:30, are we?
No, they have it timed, so you should be just fine.
Okay. I'm not worried about eating. I mean, we can eat 24/7, so I thought, well, maybe even just, you know, eat and get out
Ooh.
Of it. So, okay, and then my other question is on Castaway Cay. Did you guys, or have you guys ever, when you've been there, rented bikes and gone on bike rides?
I have.
Well, in one piece, it says it's really short paths, like 1 mile. Is it worth it to get a bike and ride around, or can you actually go around the whole island?
It depends upon what you consider a long bike ride, Mike. It's a nice casual ride. If you have the bikes all day, you know, you might want to take a few trips. You can take the bike to an observation tower, and it's pretty cool up there. You can get some really good views of the island, take some very nice photographs, and then you can ride back. There's a basketball court you can ride to. You can shoot hoops if you'd like. Depending upon where you are on the island, I stayed at the I was at the adult only beach, so it was a kind of experience than other people who would not, you know, be there. But it was kind of cool. I mean, I think it's I'm not sure how much the bikes are. It came we had a cabana, so the bikes came with the cabana rental. I don't know how much the bikes are.
Wait, the Scopa Cabana?
Scopa Cabana.
At the Scopa.
If you've never done it, it's like anything we say on the show, like when we talk about the parties. If you've never done it before, it's worth a try, you know. Besides, you said it's a big celebration. You're going all out, so why not rent a bike?
Yeah. No, yeah. It sounds like a lot of fun for me. Okay, so when we get back from the cruise, we're staying concierge at the Poly for a few nights.
Nice.
Aloha.
I'm going to heaven. So well,
sounds like a Fred Block trip.
Castle View or Garden?
Garden View.
Okay.
It's not Fred Block.
Back a little bit. Right from the edge, we pulled back a little bit, you know. But is there enough food in the concierge in the morning that for all the kids and the adults, should we just count that as breakfast?
Yes.
Is there enough food to fill you up in the morning?
Very nice lunch.
Without a doubt, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. You just grab that and then head out to the park, okay.
Oh, yeah. In fact, there's enough stuff in the afternoon for dinner.
That lounge is open all day, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's a great lounge. Yeah. The Poly Lounge? Ooh, that's great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's my favorite. Nice.
I love it.
The Poly club level at the Poly is my favorite place to stay in Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. Yeah, yeah. Nice. You should. If you can't be happy there, dude, you can't be happy.
No, I'm going to be very happy there. Believe me.
And if you can make it there, you make it anywhere. But it's up to you.
New. All nice. Right. So
sorry.
You.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah.
The cold, I'm in Minnesota, so believe me when I say I know what cold is. But the coldest I've ever been is waiting out on the end of that dock for a boat after Hoop-Dee-Doo one night when it got down to about 50 degrees and we were not prepared. I mean, you know. So I'm thinking about my folks being older, and I'd like to maybe, how would I catch a cab from them back to the Poly after we get out of Hoop-Dee-Doo?
Dude, there's not going to be cabs there. I mean, you'd have to call or something.
Yeah, I mean, would they get on the bus system outside of Pioneer Hall? Or
yeah, you could do bus to back to the front.
Yeah, I'd do the bus.
Yeah, but
you think that's the way to do it?
I think so. Yeah,
the bus would take you to. I mean, if you got okay, and then from the front, then what do you do?
You could call a cab there, but you're still going to wait 15-20 minutes for a cab.
Yeah, it's kind of a long haul for them. Just hoping it's not going to be too cold in the evening, or that we'll be better prepared than I was when I was standing out there. What? So.
Yeah, you're going next week, right?
Yeah.
It could
be chilly.
Bundle up. Bundle up. That's the best I can say.
Good luck, Mike.
Thanks a lot.
Let us know how it goes, Mike. Good luck.
All right. Thanks a lot.
That's good. See you.
Thanks, Mike. Mike's been listening for a long time. But let's keep the show rolling here. We have our next call on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air. Hello?
Is it Walt Disney World Today?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, turn down your radio.
Turn down your radio.
Okay, I am calling from Cedar Park, Texas. And we're leaving for vacation next Sunday. and we left one day of our trip. We haven't made park or reservation, dining reservations. So I'm trying to get in a good place for 8 and 10-year-old and 2-year-old to celebrate some birthdays.
8, 10, and 2-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And do you have any character dining reservations at all?
Yes. Well, we've done with the older two. We've done Chef Mickey's. So this time we did Crystal Palace, and I think Ohana Breakfast has characters also.
And you've already got those?
Yes.
Hi.
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 I'm taking off speaker.
So do you think you're really... Nice. Do you think you really need another character meal? I mean, usually kids...
No. Mm-mm.
I would actually recommend 50's Primetime Cafe.
Okay.
That'd be great. I think kids will love it there.
Oh, you know what? We're doing Wednesday dinner there.
Oh, there you go.
And will they do birthday cakes if we call and pre-order?
Absolutely. Any Disney World restaurant will do that for you. You just have to call ahead.
I would do that.
Okay.
My concern there, though, is you pretty much have to call 80 or 90 days in advance, though, for that to get a decent time.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, we'll just have to wing it then. I'm also looking for souvenir suggestions for the 10-year-old. The girls are pretty easy with the princess things, but other than pirate stuff, what kind of souvenirs do you suggest?
Souvenirs for boys in Walt Disney World.
10-year-old.
I would go to the Pirate League.
Yeah, but other than pirate stuff, she said.
Other than pirate stuff.
How
about
Legos? World of Disney?
I was going to say, you could go to Rock and Roller Coaster?
Oh, yeah.
Drumsticks, yes.
Lots of stuff over there.
Drums, yeah.
Drums for children are the gift that keeps on giving.
Drumsticks are turkey leg sticks.
Yeah, those would be great. Okay, my 8-year-old daughter has a question. What is your question? Oh, what's your favorite roller coaster?
Ooh.
Rock and or roller coaster.
Spacey Mountain.
Big Thunder Mountain.
Everest.
Right.
Man, Newell and Len, you're so boring.
Spacey Mountain's boring.
I rode Big Thunder 11 times in a row on the last trip.
That explains it.
I have an appreciation for that ride. It's very well done.
No, actually, Fred, what's your favorite coaster? It.
Oh, good. All right. Well, we appreciate your time tonight.
What's your daughter's favorite coaster?
Oh, I think. What is your favorite?
Power of Care.
Last time we were there, she could not do Rock and Roller Coaster, so this will be her first time.
Nice. So Tower of Terror is her favorite.
Yes.
All right.
It's a roller coaster now. I missed it.
Wait. When are you going?
She's a kid. Let her go. She's probably right too. I mean, technically, it's a thrill ride.
That's probably the easiest question we'll get all night.
Won't the Barstormer be closed in a couple of weeks though?
Yeah,
it will, won't it?
Yeah.
Next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. 407-259-39 is our phone number. Fred, what was your favorite roller coaster? By the way, didn't get yours.
I'd have to go with Everest.
Everest, good choice.
And I'm jealous because that cute sounding 8-year-old who goes on the Tower of Terror, I can't get my daughters to go on it. Eight and they're 6 and 10, both of them. You have to
bribe them. That's how I got my youngest.
You can't
be bribed her with a purse.
All you got to do is get them on once, Fred. And
we did almost get them on once, and then the little one, the big one, started getting the little one a little anxious, and they had to go through the chicken exit.
Oh my gosh! No! Ellie still has the Tinkerbell purse that she got for going on it, and then she cried the whole time. Tears coming down her face. She grabs that Tinkerbell purse and she goes, "Let's do it again."
So if you go on it, Daddy will buy you something.
That's what we did. Yeah.
You get to earn
it
your
worked.
Keep.
And for the record, there's nothing wrong with this with the chicken exit. I'm just saying.
Well, that's the worst chicken ever exit ever. Look in the elevator.
I actually went up that exit one time to get on the ride. One of the bellhops said to me, "Yeah, would you like to go on the ride?" Yes, and so he brought me up that elevator. That was an experience.
It's not a really big drop. I think it's only one story.
Yeah,
like, this is cheap. I was gypped.
It was elevating.
Oh yeah.
Here he goes. He's just starting. Here it is.
Always gets me down. Some All people right. get high on it.
All right, Cole.
Enough.
We have our next caller on the line. It's Madison from New Jersey. Hi, Madison.
Hi. you guys remembered me. No, I'm sure.
We know every single one of our listeners.
I figured.
There's only three of them. What the hell?
Madison from Wisconsin?
New Jersey. Oh. What's up, Madison?
So I had a question from my last trip. I went in January, and I was asked for my number with guys that worked in Morocco, and my other friend that was with me and told the story of something similar happening in Italy, and I'd never heard of that happening anywhere in Disney before. Is that, like, against company policy to, like, flirt with customers? Because that never, ever happened to me, and I was really surprised.
Whoa.
I'm hurt that no one's ever asked me for my number.
I'm thinking the same thing.
I've never gotten hit on.
Well, I've had a friend who's been, I don't want to say hit on, but has, you know, had that kind of an experience at Morocco. Yes.
Interesting. I'm sure it's not on the company manual as terms of stuff they should be doing. But, not. Unless you report them or something, nothing's, you know. No, it's not accepted policy, but obviously, you know. As a guy, you got to take a risk sometimes. Did he strike out?
I was actually with my boyfriend. Standing there with me, but like I had walked off to go. I was actually looking for mint iced tea. I really wanted some. They don't serve it anymore, and so I was asking him about it. And then I had to go back to my boyfriend without a mint iced tea, but with a story.
You could have gone back with a date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
If your boyfriend wasn't there, you could have at least waited for him to buy you something first.
Yeah, exactly. That depends. Do you have any mint iced tea?
You could have played that a little bit. No mint iced tea.
Oh no, I left my purse at home. Oh darn it.
No.
Yeah.
It was the drink stand in Morocco where they make like the slushy drinks and stuff. Yeah. And I am not 21, and he looked like he was going to be willing to give me some.
Haven't we met before?
I use that line. You got to learn, Mattis. I use that line on Tony Caggiano all the time. Works every single
Nice.
So, cool.
Well, be careful out there, man.
That was too much information there.
Hey, Tony.
Thanks, Madison.
Thanks.
Wisconsin.
407-278-5939 is our phone number, and phone lines are open for your calls. And don't forget to join us in our chat room. You can go to wdwtoday.com, and you can, in addition to listening to the show, you can also chat with us. Lots of different people in chat right now. Actually, there was a message before I wanted to mention. Remember we were talking about those DVC points changeover where you can no longer use your points for non-DVC resorts if you're buying resale from now on. And someone in the chat room, I forgot the name. I don't know if they're... But anyway, they mentioned that one thing that I forgot about was that in addition for resale, if those other resorts we mentioned, you won't be able to use it also for RCI, for transferring it out to other timeshares. So that possibly could be something to consider. So, just out there. 407-278-5939 is our phone number. Phone lines are open for you to call in. And we've got we're almost coming up on hour number one here already.
Oh my God.
Well, we started really late, so the hour one's not till 9:15.
Those that weren't here in the beginning won't know, Mike.
Yeah. I'm all about being honest with our listeners.
Bravo.
What was that, Fred?
Bravo.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. And, you know, we were talking about the Disney Dream earlier. And, Mr. Newley, you were going back on the ship tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Somebody's going to do that, life. Mike. Sorry.
I know.
You're going to do it.
I got the other iPod Touch. I'm all ready to go. Nothing?
Nice.
Crickets.
And you got the flip camera, so you guys can take some video coming down. You could do that now.
Oh, they let you do it now?
Well, I didn't go down, but you'll have to do that so everybody can see you guys going down the...
Oh.
Yeah, as long as it's attached to something, you got it. Yep, it was because the camera guy was on.
Well, I can't really attach it to anything.
I'm saying the Noel family.
This conversation
is... We have our next caller on the line. It was quick.
Hello, this is Vinny from Ohio.
Hey, Vinny.
Vinny.
Hey, how are you?
Vinny.
Hey, guys. First of all, thanks so much for your show. Really appreciate it. It keeps me going during the week. But enough of that. So the big question I have is our family goes to the parks once every 2 years, and it's actually been 3 years now because it's just been a rough couple of years. But we're so excited to book our next trip. So I hear all this chatter about the Disney Visa from Chase and the amazing discounts you're supposed to be able to get. But really, or should I maybe just call an actual travel agent and hope that they can actually get us let's say the group?
I'm going to recuse myself from this particular question.
Annette?
Okay. I'm going to tell you that we haven't seen a lot of great deals come in from the Disney Visa offers.
Okay.
Most of the time, it's the same offers that everybody else is getting in general public. Now, as soon as I tell you that, they may change their mind and decide to give you a really, really good deal, but not that we've seen. They did the very first year, but since then, nothing. Unless you're looking for the 6 month no interest, that's really the only the benefit I've seen from it is really the no interest. So, you book with us or another agency that's looking out for discounts. We can book you. We're going to look for discounts that we can apply. Yeah. So really and truly, the last offer, Disney Visa offer, came out the same day as the general public offer, and it was identical.
How about that? Well, my inclination is to call you guys and have you help us. So. That this week.
That would be great. Send it on. I will find an agent to work with you.
Absolutely. Since we only go every couple of years, we always stay at the Poly and we splurge on ourselves a little bit, but it's just
nice.
Such a great memory maker. So.
Oh, yeah. And my favorite resort.
You should definitely take some time at the Poly, like an afternoon, to just take a nap back at the resort.
We have never done that, and we're hoping this time to learn from some of those mistakes we've made in the past and take a day and just kind of hang out there and see some things that are around the resort. We've not done that, and we've been down there 4 or 5 times now.
That's a great idea. I think you should definitely do that.
Yeah, it's good advice. I wonder where I got that. All right, thanks so much, guys.
Thanks, Vinny.
See you, Vinny.
407-278-5939. Let's get things rolling here with Jan from Michigan. Hey, Jan. Oh, Jan, you hung up.
Goodbye, Jan.
See you, Jan. Masha.
Nice.
Wow, you guys think alike.
407-278-5939. We have our what to think next of that. Caller with a line 2 here. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Julie from Colorado Springs.
Hey, Julie.
Yes.
Hey, Julie.
I have a couple questions for you.
Go ahead.
Is Len there?
Yep, right here.
Yeah.
Len? I just listened to the show about the Wild Africa trek.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited. We are doing that on February 25th.
Woo!
And I had heard another podcast, somebody that had gone on the media, got to do it with the media.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that the PhotoPass people, that you actually get complimentary pictures.
That's true.
After you do the tour, you do.
So, mine was free too. So, and I actually paid for it. So, I didn't go on the media tour. Yeah, free PhotoPass CD. Now, that being said, I'm sure it's just a quirk, but no one on my tour actually got a PhotoPass CD. The numbers that they gave us were wrong. It took a week of calling Disney by a few people. Thank you, Aaron, to actually get the PhotoPass CD. But yeah, it's free.
Oh wow! Because I thought I must have heard that wrong. I was thinking, when does Disney give you anything for free?
The other thing is that
you paid for it. Don't worry.
The other thing is they give you a code for the free CD, and if you've got other PhotoPass CDs, other PhotoPass photos, you can use the same code, put it on your CD. And get it free. So if you've got like 300 other photos,
okay,
plus the Wild Africa track, you can put them all into one big CD, and it's free.
Oh wow! Wow, that's good to know.
Yeah.
We are actually staying at the Yacht Club, which we've never stayed at before.
Cool.
Scopa Towers is usually our.
That's a move up.
Well, this one was picked for us. Part of the trip is a business slash award type trip. Mm. And I know that the yacht club doesn't have like a food court, and we're really used to going down to the food court at Scopa Towers and just getting like yogurt and fruit. Where would be the best place to get something like that around the yacht club?
Isn't there a little grab and go like they have at the yacht at the beach club?
Yeah, there is. I'm trying to think of where it was because I was just over at yacht. It's not in the store?
It's, yeah,
it's near the store. It's near the elevators.
It's past the elevators, right? Just past the elevators. Elevator. Yeah. So if you walk in the lobby, and you make a right by where Bell Services is, you keep walking 20 or 30 yards, it'll be on your left, and it should be open for grab and go stuff.
Okay,
but it's kind of hidden. Just so you know, you've got to walk through all the way to the back where the jewelry is, and then it's off to the left.
That's right. So you'll go in. It's going to be in the far corner.
Okay. All right. That'll help. And one more thing. Mm-hmm. I know you can walk to Hollywood Studios, and ooh, on the past show, I heard you guys saying that, you know, it's quite a walk, but we are like speed walkers and hike all the time.
How long does
it actually take to walk over there?
It's about 30 minutes.
Yep.
Is it about 30 minutes? Even if you walk?
It's a little more than it's more than a mile, but it's less than two, or maybe it's right at two, right?
Yeah, it's a pretty boring walk, but it's about 30 minutes.
Okay, so it's about a 2 mile walk.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Mile and a half.
Okay. All right.
Maybe a mile and a half. Yeah, maybe a mile and a half.
I've run it. Yeah, mile and a half.
Yeah.
Okay, because I mean we're used to doing, you know, several miles on the treadmill every day or out walking, and so
yeah, you'll be fine.
So okay, yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Welcome. Good luck.
Hey, Julie.
And Jan from Michigan is back on the line. Hi, Jan.
Hey, I'm totally sorry I hung up on you guys. I had an incoming call and I didn't think I was going to get through to you.
It's not the first time a woman's hung up on us.
Oh, hey,
speak for yourself, Hotspur.
Thanks for taking my call.
Matt is dreamy.
I think I'm actually going to be able to make it down to reunion this year.
Woo-hoo.
Have you guys got official dates? Like, I've got this plan cast thing online that says December 8th through 11th. Is that right?
That was set up by somebody else. None of us actually posted that. So I wouldn't go by that just yet.
No, we announced it.
I don't know.
Not exactly.
Well, yeah, it wasn't exactly.
Before I go ahead and like book.
We tentatively announced dates, but that plan cast was not put out by us.
Thanks. I'm glad to find that out. So I should probably just wait a little till you guys have figured it out for sure.
Great question.
I would say it's more likely to happen than not happen. Let's put it that way.
It's just that the ink is not dry yet on anything. That's why we haven't set anything in stone.
Yeah, that's a good way.
We got to talk it over with Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, he may not want us back.
Okay. Do you know for sure that you're going to do reunion again?
Yes.
Okay.
Even if nobody comes, which means there's no really anyone to reunion with.
Lynn will be there to reunion.
Dude, we're going.
Yeah. We're going.
It sounded like so much fun this year, and I really wanted to go. We were down there over New Year's, so a little bit too late.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
come on along. It'll be a hoot.
Oh, I can't wait. Okay, well, when are you guys going to make an official announcement?
Sometime in the next couple of years.
No.
I'd guess before the International Flower Show, we'll probably have an idea. Matt, yes? No?
Yeah, as soon as possible.
Okay.
We want to get the information out there as soon as possible. Because obviously, we know that you want to be making plans. A lot of other people know Jan. So I would keep your plans going.
And wait for information from us, not from somebody else.
I wondered about that because it didn't look like you guys were on that PlanCast thing.
Well, we are. We do have accounts on PlanCast, but we'll always post them on our site first.
Okay, good. And I'll keep.
And listening. We'll definitely MEI will and Mouse Fan Travel will definitely have the dates and the information up as soon as it's announced. So
okay, because I checked your site and I didn't see anything there either. So I got a little suspicious.
There you go.
Thanks so much, guys. Good night. Thanks, Jen.
Cool. Hope to see you in December.
Oh, I can't wait.
Woo!
See you then. Bye bye.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. and your opportunity to give us a call and share some of your thoughts. But I want to remind all of our listeners that this episode, live show, in fact, of WDW Today is being sponsored by AllEars.net, your one-stop shop for Walt Disney World, the Disney Cruise Line, and Disneyland. AllEars has menus of all of the Walt Disney World restaurants, comprehensive photos of all the resorts, sections on traveling and special challenges, and more. Be sure to subscribe to AllEars, a weekly email newsletter all about Walt Disney World, and join over 126,000 other subscribers who receive a dose of pixie dust in their inbox each week. Visit AllEars.net today. Of course, we want to thank AllEars.net for sponsoring these live shows for yet another year. They've been a great sponsor of ours for a while now, and they'll be continuing to sponsor these shows. So once again, thank you to Deb and the rest of the crew over there at AllEars.net. Doing a great job as always. I want to also remember earlier I mentioned that thing about DVC and RCI and not working. My wife informed me I'm wrong and an idiot, so take back what I said. I apologize. 407-278-5939 is our phone number.
Love it when the correction comes from the wife. That is awesome.
I got to communicate informing me that I was completely wrong. In my defense, I was reading it off the chat room, and I said that.
Read the chat room. You know better than that.
Yeah, it's just filled with people like Tony in there and Hans.
That's
and,
my point. Don't go by that information.
Our phone lines are open for you to call in, and we mentioned earlier that Newell and Fred are going back on the Disney Dream. You're not going on that, Annette, are you?
No. 2 in 1 week was enough for me. Doesn't it sound it?
Come on, Annette.
Wow, are you spoiled?
Had way too much fun on the first two.
Come on, Annette.
Is Becky going back on that, Annette?
Come on, Annette.
No, Becky gets off so they can get on. No. And I'm not going in February either. I don't go again until vacation in May.
Woo. Oh, poor baby.
You're going on vacation there?
I know. But, you know, I got to say, what a gorgeous, gorgeous ship, though. And if you've been on the Wonder and the Magic, you're going to see some things. It's going to feel familiar, but lots of great changes. I think that's the best thing we could say.
Yay.
And the chocolate souffle is better on the Dream than the Wonder Magic.
Gasp.
Impossible.
Oh, go try it. I'm just telling you, presentation is better. And
yay!
Oh, souffle, it was awesome. Souffle.
What?
I was going to say, you guys remember the New Year's Eve episode where we talked about what we did New Year's Eve, right? Yes. Guess where I got hotel reservations for this upcoming New Year's Eve?
New York City.
No, Bay Lake Tower.
Ooh.
Nice. The party at Len's house.
The Grand Villa.
Ooh. Wow.
Definite party at Len's house. We all know where we're celebrating.
I know where I'm going.
Wow. Yeah, baby.
Grand Villa.
Should be a little...
We have our
I think there's a more romantic walk there than at the All-Star.
Oh. Is that an offer? Is that your pitch for a room in it?
I'm just saying. I just think that that's more romantic walk there with castle in the background and stuff than a big, you know, giant Mickey.
It's intriguing. I'll put you on the list.
All right.
Take a number.
Hey, our next call on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hey, Lena, you buying
Tom
dinner?
Tom and Dave from Connecticut.
Tom and Dave?
Hello?
What was your name?
Who?
Dave from Connecticut.
Oh, Dave.
Hey,
guys. With all the talk about the boat, one of the things I'm really excited about is the new Vibe Teen Club. And it got me thinking, is there really any place on property for teens to kind of go out, sort of like Vibe on the ships, you know, to get together away from the parents and meet other kids their age?
That's a good question.
At Walt Disney World?
No, there's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
No, but let me tell you, get them on the ship. I'm never going to see my teenagers again once we get on. They're going to love it.
All right, thanks, guys.
Sorry.
That's too bad. There should be something on land that's like that.
They really should. You know, you got to – then you're kind of it's a big world at Disney World versus on a cruise.
Yeah, it's more controlled on the ship than it is.
Where would you put it, Mike? You know, would you put it at Hyperion Wharf? I don't know.
I mean, if you had – yeah, I would. But, like – and that's right, though. You know, it's more controlling on a ship than it is here. Yep. Yeah, that's an interesting – I'm sure they must have considered it.
Overboard.
We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Bob. Although my area code says I'm calling from Dayton, I am actually calling from Mount Lebanon, PA.
Woo, Mount Lebanon! Woo!
Yes.
Lebanon has the greatest audiences in the world.
Nobody rocks like Lebanon.
No, Lebanon. You know, I was in Pittsburgh the other day, and they don't rock as well as much as you guys do.
Woo! Absolutely. Long family history from here.
Awesome.
So, hey, after I was down in Disney this past Christmas, I think you need to add one more page to your color companion lens for me, because after I went to the Swolfin and ate at Shula Steakhouse and spent $140 for dinner, I need a page called Disney for the Destitute.
Free stuff you can do, right? Yeah, $140. Did dinner come with a week's worth of groceries too?
Imagine if you ate with someone.
I ate alone. That was my one bill.
Oh, that was a single.
Kidding, really?
Wow.
So I'm assuming you had an appetizer and dessert with $140 for one person.
Tell us what you had.
I had the crab cakes, and then I had the lobster bisque. And then I had the steak, and I just had to try the mac and cheese with the lobster.
Tell me though, the mac and cheese by itself could have been a meal.
Yeah, man, that side is enough for like four people. Yeah, it's huge. So it was worth it. I'd do it again. I probably wouldn't order the appetizer and the soup. But, man, talk about a great steak.
Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, the guy that called in about the hoop-de-doo.
Hoop-de-doo.
Yahoo!
I saw it. It was awesome. I do have a suggestion for him, though. If his parents are not seeing the very last show, they should probably go over to the ticket booth and have the ticket booth call the reservation desk up at the front. And then the concierge at the reservation desk might be able to call them a cab. So by the time a bus comes, picks them up, drops them off at the front, and they walk over to the reservation desk, a cab might be there. And if it's not, they can wait inside the reservation desk area, and it's nice and toasty warm for them, so they won't have to freeze out on the...
Cool. Thanks for the tip.
Awesome.
It's a concept. So I do have a question for you, though.
Sure.
You went on the Africa trek.
I did.
You had great weather. What do you think it's going to be like doing the Africa trek in July and August?
So I did the 8 o'clock trek, and I recommend everybody do the first trek of the morning, which is the 8 o'clock trek. Two reasons for that: one, it's going to be cooler. Two, no one's in the park typically at 8 o'clock in the morning, so the first half an hour that you're actually walking through, it feels much more private. So if the trek begins at 8 o'clock, you're spending 30 minutes getting suited up, going through orientation and stuff like that. But then you've got 30 minutes essentially by yourself. After you're done with that, right around the time you're walking over the hippo pool and the crocodile pool, that's when people start going on the safaris. And then it's really fun to see people going through the safaris as you're on those bridges. I think the 8 o'clock is going to work out really well for you then, because again, it's going to be cooler, and you're going to be a little bit more secluded during the first part of the tour. Do the 8 o'clock tour.
That was excellent. I'm looking at the price of it, and we don't have season passes. So you got to include on top of whatever the tour fee is going to be by that time of year.
You have
to add in like $58 for, you know, if we buy a 6-day, 7-day touring pass for the parks.
Yeah.
And then you're losing, you know, those few hours at the one park. And I did call them up and ask, when you make a reservation, you do have to pay at the time you make the reservation.
Yep.
But if you do cancel, you have to cancel like 2 or 3 days ahead of time. And that does make me worry, because if Scope is down there, like, when I was down there the last time I scheduled a tour.
Yeah.
There's a tropical storm named Fay or Fran or something. And I ended up taking a 2-hour tour at over there at the animal park
in the rain.
Did
and
you really?
It just rained and rained and rained. The up benefit was I was the only one, and I had two tour guides.
Yeah. That's awesome.
But I can't imagine, you know, you'd hate to pay for that up front and then, you know, do it all in the rain. Oh.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's
I don't
the
know
risk,
what to say.
That's the risk that you're taking there. So we'll see.
Yeah. So, but thanks for doing the show about the Africa Trek. It was real interesting, and it's exciting. I know my nephew's going to really enjoy the heck out of it. So hopefully when we go down this summer, we'll be able to work it in.
I think it's a great idea, and I like it at the 129 price point. When they go up to 189 and above, I'm really not a big fan of it. I mean, I think it's cool, but I think, like you said, Len, if you're spending $200 per person on that tour, I think it's priced itself out of it, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is, but it's one of those things sometimes you just got to bite it and say, it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, and of course, it's only going to go up in price. It's probably not going to go down, so...
Price is going down?
You know. Wouldn't that be
that's
nice?
That's adorable. Yeah.
Glenn, did you see, by the way, that the price for pizza at Via Napoli went up also?
No. How much did it go up?
AJ from the Disney Food Blog mentioned it. It's now the personal pizza. It went from $16 to $18 a person.
Yeah, the place is just packed all the time.
Yeah. In a couple of months, it went up $2.
Yeah, because, you know, it's Disney. That's always the thing. They put something out there, and then, ooh, anything mildly successful, raise the price.
Oh, it went up 12%. That's amazing.
Yep. They'll say, well, now you can have any topping. Like, you can customize your toppings, but really? $18 for a...
$18.99?
For a personal pizza.
Yeah, for personal pizza.
For a personal pizza.
Well, you're better off getting the big one.
Yep. No. Keep things going here with our next call. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Oh, this is Donald from Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Donald.
Hey, how you doing? I can't believe I actually got through. This is weird. First of all, I'm a big fan. You're talking to a three-time college program alumni.
Nice. Where'd you work?
First time I worked at Test Track.
Test Track. Yeah, go ahead.
Try listening to that for 40 hours a day. I currently work at Delta, which I think is ironic that I worked at Delta, and I also worked at Disney because of Delta Dream Flight.
Nice. Once you've taken a dream flight, the most
you
wonderful
can
flight.
Dream. We just lost the show.
You know, the weird part is nobody at work gets it. So it's weird.
That's a shame.
But, I'm so glad I got through. I sent an email to you guys a while ago about my, when you was talking about scenes for the Great Movie Ride. And I said you guys had a really hard time finding one for comedy. And I came up with the perfect one. And it was National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Because I think it'd be awesome if you had the Griswolds and you had Chevy Chase in like a Mickey Mouse hat lost in the Magic Kingdom.
Nice.
So I thought that was pretty cool.
When the squirrel jumps out of the tree.
another thing that you guys were talking about, it was in your TLC episode, and when you were talking about Stitch's Great Escape. And I was listening on the way to work, and I came up with a really cool attraction I think they should put in Stitch's Great Escape. I was thinking about them probably putting a Tron attraction in there. You know, with the new Tron Legacy movie coming out, and you know, the little portal where, you know, Stitch and where the alien from, where the alien extraterrestrial was, if they had, that could be like the portal going between the grid and the real world and things like that. And possibly like maybe some live action inside.
So Stitch in a light up Tron suit kind of blend between the two.
I think it would be good. I mean, you could do a lot with that, but I think that would be a pretty – it's just a concept, just a thought. I just figured they could put something in there. And I think they had rumors going around that they were trying to do some type of Tron attraction at one of the parks. I wasn't sure if that was valid or not.
Yeah, an easy solution for a Tron connection to the park would be to redo Toy Story Pizza Planet at Disney's Hollywood Studios and make that
arcade.
Flynn's Arcade.
Yeah.
Oh, there's an idea.
Yeah, I mean, it is an arcade anyway. All they do is slap new signs on there.
Yeah, throw some purple neon. Yeah, yeah, that'd be awesome idea.
Yeah, and a great way to improve this the Stitch ride is to
close
it. Make the exit door bigger.
Put a chicken exit on it.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. You can call in right now. We have our next call on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Cheap. Hey, this is Ron from Kentucky.
Hey, Ron.
How are you guys doing?
Outstanding.
Okay. Well, the sun's shining bright in my old home here.
The stars at night are
big.
It's not,
and it's nighttime, which gives you an idea about how great Kentucky is. But anyway.
Hey, is Amy with you? We haven't seen Amy in a while, but if you see Amy from Kentucky, let us know.
Okay. All right. I will. If I see her across the mall, I'll say, hey, Amy. WW guys, say hello.
Where the heck you been?
I got a couple of questions. Actually, I got several questions here for you. So stop me when it's time to go.
Okay, stop.
A couple months ago, I heard Jim Hill on Jim Hill Media mention something about, at one time, Jungle Cruise boat captains installed MP3 players because there was a place to install them, and they used sound effects like rim shots and trombone sounds and that to enhance it. But then they, because of the lack of consistency of the program or the show, they stopped that. Did any of you ever experience that with those enhancements?
I didn't, but I heard about it when it was. I heard about it before it came out. Then I never went on it, and then it was gone. Like a short time after it came out. So I think Jim actually was one that told me that it was coming out too. No, I never on the boat though.
I think that sounds like an awesome idea though.
Well, it does, Fred. But what it does is it makes every ride, it makes every ride the same. And what they probably felt was that each boat captain or whatever, each cast member has their own flavor of, and their own unique way of delivering the lines. And probably felt that if you had that installed on the ride, then you would not have that different experience every time. So I'm guessing that's why they took that away. My thoughts.
I got a couple of questions about that have to do with books. I read a book once called Waking Walt about them unfreezing Walt Disney. and my question, whether you put any credence in that or not, but it was a very entertaining book. But what do you think if Walt Disney came back? What do you think the top three things would be that he would change about Disney World immediately?
He would fire about 90% of the cast.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that would be for. We were talking about this actually today at lunchtime, and we just thought we were talking about sharing some stories. I would think he would fire 90% of the cast for not meeting standards that he had set in 55. I mean, the Traditions, which is the program that cast members have to go through, used to be multi-day process, and they were very, very strict. And nowadays, I mean, I'm sure we've all run into the cast member who has no clue what's going on.
Yeah, he would have fired the guy that was the cast member in Muppet Vision 3D today. That for sure.
Why?
He called it Muppet 3D Vision.
And
he's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. And then instead of like, he's like, his spiel started with, "Hey guys," and then, instead of the "Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen," it was just a little bit. I don't know. It's just a little bit out there. And then he's like, "Muppet 3D Vision.
Hey now, welcome to Muppet Vision."
Now, the worst is the people on the trams. You heard the people that are like, welcome to Disney Hollywood Studio. Over there is the Hollywood Tower Terror Hotel, where, that kind of stuff always drives me up a wall.
Yeah, they probably just have bad mics. Give them a little credit. Maybe the mic just keeps cutting out and making every other word kind of go away or something.
No.
I'm pretty sure that's not the issue. But.
Yeah, I agree with Matt.
What do you think, Glenn? What's another change you think Walt would make?
I think he would expand out each of the Animal Kingdom and the studios parks. I think he'd be actually relatively satisfied with the way Epcot turned out, but I think he'd be disappointed in the current incarnation of the Animal Kingdom. That he'd probably come in and say, "Here are 10 ideas that you could use to improve the park, to plus it up, and let's get moving on it."
What about you, Mike? What do you think something that Walt will do? Scopa, sorry.
I think that you were right, Matt, about he would take a step back and take a look at all the cast members, number one, and make some changes. When
when we first started, when you guys started first talking about this thing, the thing that came to my mind, and I don't know if this is crazy or not, but I think he would take a look at the costs over there. He would take a look at admission prices. He would take a look at the the prices for the tour we talked about and everything. And I think he would say, hey, you know, we need to make our offering to the public accessible. We need to make it more accessible, and we need to make it so that more people can come see what we do, you know, with, of course, having an eye on making, you know, having that margin. But I really think he would take a big role in making sure that the prices would be more palatable. I really do.
I would hope so. I think, you know, he always mentioned he wanted Walt Disney World to be a place for the family to be able to go and, you know, enjoy together and not be like, you know, a major thing. And I would agree with you on that. Yeah. You know, I think one thing I always got, from Walt was that, you know, he always wanted, in his case, Disneyland more than anything, was it wasn't about, he never built the park really to be like a huge profit center. He just built it as like kind of a thing. I mean, he built it because he wanted a place where, you know, someone like him and his daughter could go and enjoy the park together. And, you know, it wasn't supposed to be like the movie studios, which were more about making money and everything. It's kind of like it started out kind of like a side project, you know, like, hey, let's do this and have kind of some fun with it. And, you know, making money is a nice thing to do, certainly. But I think there's been too much emphasis on profit, not enough on the quote unquote magic. So.
Not to mention he'd be looking for the rest of his body, too. So.
My God, where are my legs?
Oh, that's awesome.
That's a chilling thought.
407-278-5939. We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, everybody. This is Scott from Long Island and the 5 Minute Magic Podcast.
Scott.
Hey, everybody. I have a question. I am a teacher, and I was asked to chaperone a trip to Disney World by the senior class. And to thank them, I wanted to do something for them that's like a special, maybe a magical moment in the park that won't cost me $1 million. There's only 10 of them. So I was willing to spend like $10 to $15 a student. Can you guys think of anything I can do for them?
What park?
Any park.
Oh, behind the scenes at Epcot.
Okay, like a little tour there.
Yeah.
Can you think of any like special place I can get dessert for them? That would be kind of a cool experience that they, you know, will forget.
A dessert. The bakery on Main Street. But
just going to the bakery at Main Street.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. One more question. Something came up on our show. There was a little. Point of debate. It was the aquaculture section of the Living with a Land ride. Do you guys have any thoughts on that? Whether they should take it out completely, or if it's it came out like we just thought it was very un-Disney like. What do you guys think of it?
I think they should expand it. I'd like to see them do a little bit more than just those tanks.
Yeah, how is it un-Disney like?
Yeah.
I guess because of Animal Kingdom, where like they created these this atmosphere and the you know, these animals in their natural habitat, and then you go to Living with the Land and you've got, you know, lots of fish in these very, very enclosed tanks. You
right.
Know, all these alligators and crocodiles and stuff.
They're raised to be food, those fish. That's a fish farm.
Right.
There's a difference.
Right, I guess I would think, anyway. Though. I mean, yeah.
Well, I think the thing to understand about Living with the Land, I think Mike's got a point here, because those fish are examples of how fisheries can help alleviate the overburdening of wildlife fishing, like, you know, taking too many fish from the sea and stuff like that. And
yeah.
in one case, for instance, there's that great display actually where they have the fish feces is what's fertilizing the plants above them. I think
right,
that's
towards it's towards the end of the attraction on the left hand side, right?
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. I mean, I understand what you're saying. I mean, obviously, I wouldn't want to be one of those like fish swimming around in a 12x12, you know, thing. But you know, their lifespan is like what, you know, a couple weeks. You know what I mean?
No, it's longer than that. But
whatever. They're fish.
I think maybe can they make that little area a little brighter? It looks very dank to me. It looks very depressing going in that little section.
Yeah, they should play some Sinatra and
yeah,
maybe
exactly.
Some mood lighting would be nice.
That would be cool.
Fly me to the moon.
They're
all right,
food.
Scott, I'm going to have a long talk with Emily about this topic.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Fish are food, not friends. It's the same thing as raising the plants. We cut them and eat them. That's what the fish are.
Those fish are Christmas trees.
Mike Newell.
They're not.
Hard to swallow that, Mike.
Something's fishy.
Okay, somebody call in, please.
That was a taste of Mike Newell.
407-278-5939 is our phone number and your opportunity to give us a call and ask your questions, share your comments. We were talking about Fantasyland. What are your opinions on Fantasyland and the Fantasyland expansion, the Disney Dream? You know, and you guys were talking about this dream earlier. You know, I think I was reading a lot of stuff this past week about people coming back from that media cruise and the inaugural cruise. And
the one with the free iPod touches?
Yes, that cruise.
He still sounds bitter, doesn't he?
Oh, he's bitter, all right. That's why I mentioned it.
It seems to me that the biggest disappointment, so you were talking about a little bit in the chat room, Annette, was the adult pool is very small and very shady, as in like no sun at all.
Shady? No.
Shady, as in the crowd that hangs around it?
No, as in like no. There's no sun there.
It's very intimate and very closed in by the Cove Cafe and by the elevators. But they were after more of like lounging in the water and also having a cove bar as part of the pool. So the bar is under the shade, and you're not going to sun around the adult pool. There's no lounging in the sun. In fact, I watched two ladies chase the sun, and they were right up against the wall to the Cove Cafe. So they were laying out in the sun right next to the big window where we were having coffee.
You know, what's interesting about that is that Disney on the Magic and Wonder had pioneered the idea of an adult-only pool when they had put their ship out there, because before that didn't exist. And right. It just seemed they really dropped the ball with that adult pool area on the Dream, which is interesting because it's ironic, really, that they would do such a great job the first time around but really miss the boat the second time around.
Well, the worst thing was when I got to see the teen area, and I didn't get to see it on the media cruise, but I got to go on the second cruise I was on. I got to see it, and Colleen and I went in there, and we were like, we want to stay here. They are right up front. I think it's kind of comical because they have two hot tubs and a little splash area, I guess. I don't know. We're not sure. There was no water in it. It may be that it's actually three hot tubs and nice, comfy lounge chairs. They're in the front of the ship. They're right there. They get to sun. They get to lay in the sun. But it's just kind of funny that you look up back towards the ship, and you're looking at the bridge. Kind of interesting that that's what the bridge is looking at.
Well,
the teenage pool.
Joining us now on the show is Mike Newell and I's favorite person, because she buys us presents. It's Janet. Uh-oh. Figment Rules of the
Janet. Did you make it to Newark the other day?
I made it. I made it home at 2 a.m. I don't even know what day it was. I guess it was Friday. Yeah,
it was pretty bad. It was rough getting into Newark the other day.
Yeah, it was. Well, they canceled it the day before. Apparently the lights went out at Newark Airport.
Yeah, so, they lost power. It was a mess.
Turned all the lights
down. Yeah.
Oh, geez, it was awful. Anyway, I get to spend an extra morning at the studios.
Woo!
So when I realized they'd canceled the flight and there was no room in the Hyatt, I went ahead and said, well, what's the cheapest digs I can get? Amex didn't have any. No joy to Amex. Sorry about that one. But So then I went and said, well, if I'm going to pay $150 for a hotel room, I may as well try and exercise the AP discount in Magical Express. So I stayed at the Port Orleans French Quarter and got to go into the studios the next day and have some nice lunch and walk around, see One Man's Dream. It was cool.
Cool.
It was a big trip, though. That whole trip was kind of very last minute, and a friend had reserved the chef's table at Victoria and Albert's, and it was only the two of them.
Ooh.
And so we just find them, and it's definitely something, if you're, it's a must-do. You might have to hawk the house or not pay the mortgage for a month or something, but, you know, and then it is pricey.
Cool. What's on your mind, Janet?
I'd do it again in a heartbeat. Maybe not this month, but yeah, it was really good. And so we really enjoyed that.
Cool.
Yeah, so we had a nice last minute trip. A lot of fun. Looking forward to it. We'll be back down. I just saw Turning Plans, plane cast for the Hall of Presidents, the 24th.
Excellent.
And I think we'll be there. Well, I will. I don't know if my husband will come or not, but we're going to be down for the launch. That was the 25th, I think, Friday, and we'll be down for the launch on the 24th.
Oh, nice. Good.
This is the one that was supposed to go in November. So I'm sitting there with my Causeway tickets that I've been trying to get for 25 years, and now, 6 months later, I'm still sitting on them.
Nice. Well, someone, Rayman in the chat room, you asked Janet earlier about going and making it to Newark, and Rayman in the chat room says, why would you want to make it to Newark?
Hey, easy on busting on New Jersey now, all right?
Yeah.
So I could pay for that Victorian Albert experience to show up at work. Yeah. So, yeah. No, I agree. It's not my favorite airport.
Cool. Well, thanks for calling in, Janet. We always appreciate hearing from you.
Oh, well, thank you, guys, and sorry, really, really sorry R2-D2 didn't work out. But
it's a thought that counts.
Okay.
Thanks.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
407-278-5939. We have another call right after Janet. Hi, who are we speaking with?
This is Lewis from Louisiana.
Hey, Lewis.
Lewis.
I have a question for Annette.
Ooh.
We are coming down at Mardi Gras, and we'll be attending our very first Wishes dessert party, and my wife is looking really forward to it. And she made a comment on a show about something about Ziploc bags and was wondering if she could expound on that.
Annette?
I made a comment about Ziploc bags?
At dessert parties?
Which one of us would do it on the show, Annette? Come on.
Thanks for the hint.
I would take food away from a dessert party?
You would leave food at a dessert party?
They're not gonna really, clap their hands and be very thrilled with you pulling up to the dessert party with a Ziploc bag.
like
but,
a drive-thru.
Once it's on your plate, it has to go in the trash.
At the very end, right? At the very end of the party.
Once it goes on your plate, it has to go in the trash.
Yeah, so go take the food back to your table and do the deed there.
load up on the plate is what she's saying.
Do the deed.
Just don't do it at the table. That's very rude.
It would be very rude to do it at the table.
Oh, so put it on your plate. So stack your plate like a foot high and then...
Yeah.
I'm getting enough for my whole table. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Does that make sense, Lewis?
That makes sense. Sounds like a good twit pick.
Oh, jeez.
How high can
But
you
I
get
never
food?
Said bring a Ziploc bag.
No, you had said hefty.
Hefty. Nice.
Whippy, whippy, whippy.
And Len.
Yep.
We are staying at Port Orleans Riverside for the.
Cool.
Any suggestions? Is Alligator Bayou or the mansions better? Or we have a car, so being close to the buses doesn't matter.
I like both of them. Okay, the Bayou I think is a little more the landscaping is a little more rustic, but it's less confusing than the Magnolia Manor, which is just. Again, you get some of those far rooms on the back side of those things. Magnolia Bend. The back of the buildings around where the buses are, that's just really, really, really confusing.
Yeah. I was going to say, Len, I like the theming of Magnolia Bend better, but I like the location of Alligator Bayou better.
Exactly. So I think Magnolia Bend is prettier, but if you get like buildings 14, 15, 18 over an Alligator Bayou, you're going to be way closer than anything else, except for like the very closest rooms in like building 90 of Magnolia Bend. So I would go with those if you can.
Okay. Great. Well, I appreciate the help and love the show.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Good luck.
Thanks, Lewis.
Thank you.
See you, Lewis.
407-278-5939 is our phone number, and phone lines are open for you, for your calls. Give us your opinion on a lot of different topics. There's a lot of different things we've been talking about today, lots of interesting things from the Disney Dream to the Wild Africa Trek. And Len, I'll tell you that Wild Africa Trek is getting a lot of buzz out there. A lot of people think it's pretty interesting.
It is. It's just the price is going to be the thing.
Yeah.
When does it go up again? When does the price go up?
It's seasonal, so it's going to be slow until like spring break, and then I think they said that the high price could be like $239.
What?
Wow.
Yeah, wow is right.
Yeah, that's a lot. Rough.
I think that at 129 stays in place. I want to say until May, but I could be wrong about that. 407-278-5939. Now, Ned, you were talking about the some of the issues with the Disney Dream. I got a question for you. Is that you think this is a fail or it's good? The aqueduct.
Oh, I think it's good.
Aqueduct. The water slide. It doesn't seem nearly as exciting.
It's not as exciting as everybody thought it would be, but it is exciting because it's something that we didn't have before. It's better than a water slide that, you know, some of us were too big to go down. Or you seemed a little, you know, you hated to go up there with the 3 and 4 year olds. You looked a little silly.
You feel like you need a kid.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah. But this you can do together because it's rafts for two. It really was exciting in the beginning. The first third of the ride on the one side where you're going out over then, or in my case, over the dock and people walking below you.
Woo!
Yeah, that stuff it says like, woohoo, like looking down and seeing people walk below you. But that was very cool. I mean, you're looking down, you're high up, you're shooting right through a couple drops, but then you spend the rest of the ride kind of slowing down. So the whole, when you go through the first smokestack, you're coming around and they've got you rocking back and forth. At first, when I saw it, I thought people were rocking back and forth because they were playing in the raft. No, that's the way the water does. It's slowing you down, but it gives you a chance for photo ops so you can have family on the other side taking pictures. So it's your 2/3 of the ride is slowing you down so you can get out at the bottom.
Okay. We'll get Mike Newell's opinion on the slide in just a second, but we've got Darlene from New York on the line. Hi, Darlene.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Getting really excited. I'm down to, I think, 25.
Woo!
I'm so excited, and I'm actually going on Lou's WDW radio cruise, so I'll be riding at Aqueduct, and I can't wait.
Nice.
So, and my husband, Keith, just today we signed up for the Wild African Track.
Oh, cool.
Has anybody done it?
I have.
Yeah, we did a show about it, Len. What was that, a week ago, Monday?
Monday, yep.
Oh, okay. My iTunes got blogged up, so I have to, my husband's trying to fix it, so I will have to load that up.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's you spend about half an hour getting gear on. There's like a safety vest that you wear when you're walking on the bridges and when you're leaning over the alligator pool and the hippo pool. It takes a little bit of time to get set up in that. The hiking isn't strenuous at all. A lot of fun. There's actually a snack at the end. It's really good. It's more like a meal. And you do see a lot of animals and more up close than you normally would in many parts of the park. I think it's good overall. Again, the only issue I really have with it is the price, which I think it's expensive.
Well, I think we ended up getting it on the introductory offer, so yeah, that was good. I've heard another friend of mine saying that if it's as good as she's hearing, she probably wouldn't mind paying the price for something like that, especially to get close and personal with the animals, because they sometimes haven't seen any animals when they're in the buses and stuff.
Oh, really?
going through. Yeah. I guess, because they go in the hot summer, and you know how the animals decide to, like, go and, like, try to stay under the shade and that you can't get a real good look at them and stuff? That's their problem. So,
A lot of people in chat are saying the same things, that, you know, the ones some people are willing to do it, but when you're talking about other things, people are a lot of people in chat are saying, you know, it's a little too rich for their blood.
Hopefully maybe they'll do some discounts or something, you know, once they get there to the point where, you know, maybe people aren't going to be doing it, you know, especially depending on how the economy swings here, you know.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But definitely looking forward to, like, the aqueduct and stuff, too. My husband said, he goes, it doesn't go fast, but I just heard Annette saying that it slows you down just enough, but then you do go a little bit faster. Is that true?
Really?
No, you start out pretty fast. You start out down a little bit, and then you get shot through two kind of cannon water.
You get shot?
Oh, my God.
The water kind of shoves you through to just come on. This is a struggle. With this voice, this is a struggle.
My arm.
Anyway, the water pushes you through very quickly. And you're dipping down and the water's pushing you through. But then really about 2/3 of the ride is the water slowing down.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's definitely Crush and Gusher.
Oh, yes. What was it like going over the turn over the ocean? Is it scary?
The first time I didn't even look down. And it wasn't that I didn't want to look down. I didn't even think about it because you go so quick, it's over before you know it. The second time, when the camera wasn't on me, I leaned over so I could make sure to look down. But again, we were at Castaway, so it wasn't like I was looking down at water. I actually was looking down at people walking below me on concrete. So,
that's kind of
not
strange.
Not too much fun. There is a great place, and we found this when we were running around the ship. There's a place near the adult pool where the hot tubs are where you can stand on this area. You can see through to the water, and we took some great pictures there of us walking on the water. So, you know, it kind of gives you the same
effect. You can walk on water?
I walked on water.
You can leave your friends behind.
I actually believe that. Annette can walk on water. I believe that. I do.
This explains some of the comments I've heard about you.
But, I mean, it's a really cool picture to take, but it does give you the same, you know, the same perspective. If somebody's scared of heights, you could try, you know, look down there and see what you're going to do. Or just don't look down. I mean, really, if you don't look down, you're only going to be looking down at the people in the pool.
Okay.
For the most part.
Okay. Oh, that is so cool. And the Fantasyland expansion, I actually am very excited about it. I'm already trying to get ideas of, like, when to go, when it's all finished, and that. I'm actually really happy about some of the changes that they just announced.
Like what? I was going to ask you what part you're looking forward to most.
I'm looking to the new dining option. I'm looking forward to the Seven Dwarfs train ride. I think Snow White's Scary Adventure, I like it, but I think it's ready for a change. I think it's going to be fun. And I think the Dueling Dumbos, as I'm calling them, I think that's going to be great.
Cool. I think the dining option is going to be really interesting. I'm looking forward to the Mine Train as well. And then the Ariel Dark Ride. If anyone's been to the Magic Kingdom lately and looked at the steel frame that's going up behind the walls in Fantasyland, that's going to be huge. That part of the park
it looks like they're really taking the advantage of the extra area that they had making this expansion. And it looks like I think it's going to be good for all the families. I really do. I think it's going to utilize that space a lot better.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think so too.
Thanks, Darlene.
Hey, thank you. Have a great night, guys.
Night.
Bye.
We have a. Next call, it's Alyssa from Indiana.
Real quick? Yeah, hey, Lynn, are you noticing that in chat, everybody wants there to be a Testa cruise? I love that. That would be a great marketing thing. Come Testa cruise. I think that would be awesome. Let's go do that.
I'll have to find some time off when we can all go do a cruise and we could promote it as
the likeness of Lynn Testa.
Testa cruise?
My first name. Cruise.
Living with the Lynn.
Exciting and new.
Hello.
Hi, Alyssa.
Come aboard.
Hey.
We know everybody who calls. We know everyone intently.
Both of our
listeners. That's awesome.
Who?
That's awesome. Well, I haven't been listening because I was at my sister's
I was at my sister's basketball.
Newell, hang up.
Are we hanging up on her now or what?
Oh, don't hang up on me. I have a funny story.
All right. Okay. Better be funny.
Goodbye.
Okay. She just set it up. Now it's going to have to be really funny.
So I have been forgetting about the live show since October, so it has been off in December. I know. It's cool. Life has been a little crazy. So anyway, we went to Disney in October for our first anniversary, and we became officially annual pass holders.
Woo!
Took our little certificate to the window to go get our pass holders, and we walk up there and give it to the guy, and he's like, "Oh, you know, congratulations." We're like, "Thanks." And so he goes, are you guys charter pass holder members? And I was like, charter? And he's like, yeah, have you been member since Epcot opened? I was like, do I look like I'm old enough to have been a member since Epcot opened?
You mean at 9 o'clock this morning? Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So he said, well, these papers, that's what you paid for, was to renew that. And I said, I did it online. I don't know. He's like, well, we really should be charging you $75 more per ticket. And I said, okay. He goes, but it's our mistake. So he said that probably 4 or 5 times, and my husband was, you know, all right, well, if he says it one more time, I'm just going to pay the guy. But then it was our fault, because he said, well, you didn't do it over the phone. You did it online. You must have clicked something wrong. And I got home and literally did it 3 different times to see how I could have possibly gotten in there. It was a glitch on Disney's fault. So we ended up paying about $150 less for our annual passes the first time than we should have. So it was, we were like, yes, we got $150 from Disney. So anyway.
Nice. Well,
wow.
I know.
So you're buying us lunch next trip?
Yeah. Hey, I will.
I was thinking that, you know, if you felt bad about that particular cast member service, you could always go try and buy tea at Morocco, which I'm told will hurt your ego. Just don't bring your husband.
Oh, you got to go solo.
Yeah.
I guess I missed something earlier in the show, didn't I?
Yeah. There was a story about one of our listeners being hit on by a guy in Morocco when she went to buy iced tea there.
I think you guys need to sit me down to research that one.
It was the good and the bad of Walt Disney World cast members all in the same show.
Yeah, and we'll send you for that as long as you say, I always depend on the kindness of strangers.
As God is my witness, I'll never go hungry again.
I can honestly say I don't think I've ever said either one of those lines. But
well, I don't let you guys go because I'm sure there's other callers, but guys, keep having a good evening. I'm sure you guys are almost done. So
thanks, Alyssa. Hopefully we'll catch you in about 200 more episodes when you listen again.
I listen every week, like to the regular shows. It was just tonight was a little busy. So.
Okay. Thank you, Alyssa. We appreciate it.
All right. Bye.
I'm gonna yell at her
again. Yeah, she's gone.
Now let's talk about her.
Lynn again.
So one of the questions that I had is, for $129, do you actually get to see the backside of water?
You actually, it's funny because the one comment that I did have for our tour guides was that you kind of rush through the last part of the safari. And I would like, if there was a cutout there, or if there's a place to kind of hang around and see the geyser part of the safari, to kind of look around or hang around that, I think that would be better. But other than that, yeah, no.
Okay. Still time to get your calls in, 407-278-5939. What do you think about the Wild Africa Trek? Is that something you're going to be booking in the next couple months? Let us know and share your thoughts, or call us in with your questions. Regardless, we're here to – it's your show, your opportunity to voice your opinion and share your thoughts with us. 407-278-5939 is our phone number. Oh, I thought someone was going to say something, but I'm pretty sure we've met our marathon question scope quota.
Don't
for the
mention
week.
Marathon, because you're going to give everybody ideas.
Well, Mike, why don't you talk about Paolo and the basketball court?
Yeah.
I don't understand why they put the basketball court on top of Paolo.
You can really hear it that much?
Especially over the private dining room in Paolo.
It's smack right above the private dining room. So you're eating in here.
nice rhythm above your head.
Yeah, it's
three.
It was a bad choice. And I mean, you really, they can't, I mean, can they close?
Chocolate souffle is good.
Can they close the basketball court while dinner's being served?
No.
I don't think they can. So it's, I don't know. It wasn't my first choice.
It used to be over the spa, so.
That's no bargain either.
Yeah.
By the way, everyone in chat wants to hear you say, kiss my grits.
I'm not this voice.
If I was home, we could hear it.
If I was home, right, I have a soundboard in that. We could have done it. But.
Kiss my grits.
We have our next caller on the line. It's St. Chris. Hey, St. Chris.
That it is. Boy, it's been a while, guys.
Where you been?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, Disney World and then home.
There you go.
Yeah, I think we should start attacking our listeners more.
Well, somebody's got to do that trip, you know?
Yeah, the first thing I did when I got home this last time was to look up the music that plays before Illuminations. I know I heard Scopa mention Falling Through a Cloud was one of the songs that they play, the like a group of six kind of world music, new agey stuff that they play before the fireworks. It is all online. If you like, go to the Wikipedia article for Illuminations Reflections of Earth, you can find the names of all the tracks. I found them on iTunes. They're probably, Lynn, I imagine they're on Amazon as well. All right, it was wonderful stuff. When Newell, do you know when they started playing that music before Illuminations? Because our most recent trip before that was in 07, and we don't remember that music, but we did hear it last year at the end of September. Do you know when they started that?
Mike?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
When did they start playing it?
The Illuminations pre-show.
In general?
Yeah, the current pre-show music that has like the music by Uttara Kuru and the Jalan Kopo, like the six songs that they currently play before Illuminations.
You mean when did they start playing, or what time did they start playing it?
Do you know what year they started playing it? Because I don't remember hearing that in 07, and I think I would have remembered that music.
I was going to say it was definitely in the last three, four years. I was going to say 06 that they changed it. Probably, Chris, it might have been right before the 25th, Epcot 25, that they may have changed it. I'm not.
Yeah, we were there on the 25th, and we didn't remember the music.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure exactly when they changed it.
Yeah, we totally fell in love with it. I mean, I've got it as a playlist on my iPod, and it's awesome stuff. And
I'm a bigger fan of the older one.
If anybody loves that music that you hear before Illuminations,
you're right.
It is out there.
Yeah, they've got all 19 songs in the listed in Illuminations Reflections of Earth on Wikipedia. That's awesome.
Yeah, the Wikipedia article has. They usually do six songs, but apparently, if there are delays for the show. They have a whole another set of music that they can play from, and yeah, Wikipedia has the whole list. I just bought the six, and it's fantastic stuff. Absolutely love it. We had a great time with that. Epcot was wonderful this last time. Although I hear that I've seen pictures now they're actually finally painting over the fake brown legacy grave markers that are on the legs of Spaceship Earth.
Oh, really good.
It was only an item that was posted on your website, Lynn. Yeah,
that was just awesome. Did we need to play that back?
I've spent the last couple of days working on the new Magic Kingdom touring plans.
The
for the closure of Toontown.
Cool. Thanks, St. Chris. We always appreciate hearing from you.
Yeah, no problem at all. Oh, are you asking everybody's opinion?
Oh, dude, it was just posted like 20 minutes ago on my website. What are you dude, give me a break. I've been a little busy since this
evening.
You
can't multitask? What's the problem?
Come on, Christian. You're killing me, man. You're killing me.
Man, you're the one with the iPhone. If you're not on top of it,
wow.
Damn, boom.
Wow.
It is literally like the fourth line of the most recent blog post on this site. Dude, it's ancient history. It's like 20 minutes ago, man.
We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey.
Oh, hey. I had a question about, I'm taking a cruise in April on April 19th, we're actually going to be in the area to get off the cruise, and I was going to do an excursion to Disney, but it's right during spring break, and I know that's a nutty time, and it says 10 on the cloud calendar.
Yeah.
No, it's just pointless to go to any of the parks at that point for, you know, a 9-hour, 8-hour excursion.
Are you going to be you're going to be getting there when the park opens?
No, the excursion is from noon to 10.
Dude.
We were thinking of Epcot. I just didn't know if I'd be able to get to, like, Soarin or Test Track or anything like that.
At noon, the fast passes are going to be gone for Soarin on the 19th. May do single rider line at Test Track, but it's just
going to
be...
Yeah, like the best is 60 minutes to you know.
Yeah, you should assume that you're going to wait an hour to do standby at Soarin. Hour that.
So I'm trying to think of something else too. I don't want to do a beach because we're going to do a beach the next day. It's just,
who's going?
Who's going?
Yeah, you and who?
Me and my wife, my two kids, my niece, and my brother-in-law, probably, and maybe my mother-in-law.
How old are the kids?
They're 10, 8, and 6.
And you're at Port Canaveral?
Yeah. We're doing the Nickelodeon cruise. It says I don't know if we're getting in earlier, and maybe I can rent a car to get there a little earlier. But it says the excursion is from noon until 10 o'clock at night.
And see, if you're driving from Port Canaveral to the Orlando area itself, is going to be about an hour, if not a little bit more.
Yeah,
one way.
Yeah, I probably won't get to the end of the park until 1 on the 19th. So I'm sure that.
So you got
the passes because we're going back again on the 4th of July week, and then we're also going again in September. But we're going for free dining. Now I'm wondering if that was another question I had. Is it pointless to buy the passes if we're going for free dining, or am I going to be able to just buy one day then too? Or
what's the question about the passes? I'm not sure I understood it.
Well, we're going 3 times this year.
Yeah.
So we were going to buy passes, but one of those times was for free dining for 10 days.
Yep.
So I know I have to buy, to get the free dining, I have to buy the passes.
Yep.
So I don't know if it's worth it for me to buy the annual passes if I still have to buy a pass for the, I don't know if I have to buy like one pass for the 10 days or if I have to buy one for all 10 days.
No, you have to buy. You just buy a one day pass. What I would do is, so you're going now, and then when's your next trip?
So we're going April vacation, the week after 4th of July week, and we're going in September.
So I would buy 1 day passes for this, and then I would buy my annual pass in July. And the reason is your annual pass will then run until the following July, which means you'll get half of April, all of May, all of June, and a couple of days in July extra for your annual pass. So you could do spring break again next year if you wanted to.
Okay.
So for the extra, you know, $60 or whatever that it's that you're going to pay, you get April, May, June. You get an extra almost 3 months of use out of the annual pass for the incremental few dollars per person. And that might be the way to go. So if you're going to go on Tuesday the 19th to a park, don't go to the Magic Kingdom because it's going to be open till it's going to start opening. Sorry, it's going to open at 7 a.m. for morning extra magic hours.
It's a park to avoid.
Yeah, so the studios might be actually your best park because people are either going to go to the Magic Kingdom for morning extra magic hour or they're going to go to Epcot for evening extra magic hour, and Epcot closes at 9 to the general public anyway. The studios is actually open till 10, so I would actually go to the studios if you're going to go to a park.
I'm just going to throw out there, you're right there at Kennedy Space Center. I know it's not a park, but you're right there at that, and that would be a really good, you know, non-beach day. The other thing is depending, you might could do something with Universal.
You know what?
Where you get to buy this.
When did this become Harry Potter today? What?
I'm just saying, I'm giving some options because at least you can buy the passes to the front of the line, and then you're getting through the park.
Could you at least give some options relevant to the podcast?
It's in Orlando.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Welcome to Kissimmee Today. Go ahead.
Welcome to Kiss Me Today. What?
Yeah. You're number one.
Tried on Kissimmee Today. Bay Lake Towers.
No, I think so.
Just trying to be helpful.
We have our next call on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Sam.
Hey, Sam.
Sam, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going? Hey, just wanted to, Ashley and myself, we were listening to the show, and she actually mentioned that you guys had made a comment earlier that if Walt was alive, what would he do today? And I was kind of curious with a comment. We work for a place, which we'll just leave it as, we work at the Fruit, and we really take a lot of enjoyment in being able to get to yes for customers. And I was just kind of curious, why does it seem like a lot of times with some of the managers or supervisors within the lady about no when it comes to stuff, whether it's any type of customer service issues? And I was wondering if you guys could comment on that.
That's an interesting question. I think, my theory, it comes down to the latitude that the employers give to their employees to do stuff. So Disney goes through tens of thousands of employees a year that they're hiring. Because they have to hire so many people and train them do so quickly, everybody's role is very segmented. So they give you a manual and they say, this is what your job is. Don't deviate from it.
Right.
I don't think, especially for frontline CMs who are on stage, I don't think they're allowed to wing very much. So the default behavior is if it's not part of my job description, I can't do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as Disney describes the job in narrow terms, it'll always be that way.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because the cast members have like in one case like the cast members at work, the ice cream stand or the popcorn stand, like Disney gives them a little latitude actually, and they're like, hey, it's okay if you give away a few boxes of popcorn during the day or a few bars of ice cream if it's going to make magic for some kid, right? And that's kind of interesting because on the other side of things, they're very stringent about what Len just mentioned. And they seem to go much more on the other side of things. They seem to be like what Len is saying. They're very more, you know, everything's about like staying well within the lines and, you know, this whole, you know, keeping everything as black and white as possible.
Right. If it's not within their job description, if Disney hasn't said, here are the five things you can say yes to, right, and explain the situations very, very carefully, the odds are that they're going to say no simply because they don't know and they don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah, it seems because we had a situation when we were down in December. It was a simple thing, as simple as taking a picture, and we were told to come back in about 20 minutes. Well, when we came back, it may have been a little bit more than 20 minutes, but the person who was sort of overseeing that area was so quick to just, without hesitation, be like, no, we're done. You know, you can't sit in line at this point. We can't give an extra 5 minutes for pictures. And, you know, for me, it's just one of those things where you just kind of like, you know, what would that 5 minutes have hurt at that moment when it's not like, you know, you're not giving away, you know, the keys to the kingdom, so to speak. You're just trying to, you know, hey, this person was here earlier and we couldn't accommodate them then. Why not accommodate at that moment?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, who knows what happened? That person might have had a really bad day. You know what I mean? And you never know. And for all we know, that cast member is the best cast member in the world every other day of the year. So it's hard to say, but there is a lot of that kind of unwilling to bend in any kind of direction because it's not, you know, exactly down the middle in terms of operations. And, you know, I was talking about this. Actually, I think we were talking about this, Newell, after we saw you and Annette at the Treehouse Villas. And, you know, it's like when you go to the resorts and you show them your ID, what is the point of that?
What was it?
You know what I mean?
I'm sorry?
Like when you go to a resort and you right. show your driver's license.
Right.
What is the point of that? Like, and they'll be real sticklers about it if you don't have it. I mean, if you
some
just say no,
are.
You're not going in.
Some are real sticklers and some don't care. I mean.
Yeah, some can you show, like, driver's.
And then
you know.
Some of them want to carry on a conversation with you because of where you're from.
Right.
Mr. Sure. Newell.
I had a guy
exactly.
who, when I pulled in, it was the night. it was the night the Jets were playing the Patriots. And this guy, he's from New York. He wouldn't let me go. He's talking to me for like 10 minutes while all the cars are backing up. I'm like, cool, dude. You know, got to run. See ya. You know, nice to talk to you, but I got things to do.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Our one of our listeners of ours, and also was a cast member, is Danny, and he doesn't work for Disney anymore.
Danny,
but Danny was a great cast member because he really, first of all, he got it, yeah. and he under that, you know what? It's okay sometimes to not exactly go by what the manual says, but you know, obviously he's not breaking any rules or anything, like in terms of, like, you know, he's not like letting us, you know, go backstage and play with, you know, push all the buttons. He's, you know, he gets it that, you know, it's okay that, you know, to have leeway with a lot of things. And you just see in the management, especially the right above the frontline cast members, is that they're very much not like that at all. And they kind of instill that work ethic that Len was talking a little about earlier. And it's unfortunate, really.
Yeah, it took me to write an actual email to someone in like customer service there to actually get some feedback. And I was very pleasantly surprised. They actually called me back a week after we'd gotten back home and actually gone really above and beyond to kind of make up for what was otherwise it was an okay experience. It wasn't a magical experience, and it was one of the things where it was refreshing to actually see somebody at least take that ownership and say, you know, we're going to make this right because we don't want this to be something that you remember a trip by.
They do take the complaints seriously. They will get back to you on a complaint.
Except for Fantasmic.
Well, that's not really...
The fact that it shouldn't exist.
Yeah, that's not a priority, I was going to say.
No, they get back on it when it's convenient, when they want it to
be. Well,
like,
you know what? If you get, you know, several hundred of those, that, you know, that they'll understand it, but they're not going to reply to every one of those. But like what Sam's talking about, you know, something that's, you know, out of the ordinary, you know, they will look into it anyway.
Yeah, well, that's very true.
But thank you guys very much. Appreciate your time, and we look forward to seeing you guys again and on another trip soon.
Cool. Thanks, Sam.
Say you to Ash for us.
I will. Thanks.
All right. Take care, Sam.
407-278-5939. We got time for a few, just maybe one or two more calls. We're going to go to about 10:15
more questions.
Because we started a little bit late, so we figure, you know, we'll make up for it over here.
Hey, man, I got to get up early and go on the dream. I don't have time for more questions.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You're number one,
too.
A dream?
Is this your second trip?
Yeah. See. In 2 weeks.
Yes.
Wait a minute.
I never want to hear you talk smack about me.
Wait a minute. 3 weekends in a row at Disney and then you just stayed extra? And
thank
you,
Annette.
Him a hard time?
Thank you, Annette.
Dude, I paid for every one of my days.
Wait a minute. Oh. Oh, no, you didn't. Oh, no, you didn't.
WDW SmackDown.
Hello? Cage match. Is this thing on? I can't hear you guys.
Wow.
Cage match.
Can we... Never mind.
Yeah.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. And, Mike, do you remember what Monday's show is? We're ahead of our recording schedule, which is odd. I don't remember it offhand.
I have our secrets.
Promote Monday's episode.
The podcast may not be.
Not off. I have it here, but
surprise.
Yeah,
I know.
It's a surprise to us too.
It's episode 832.
There we go.
That I know.
Nice. It's the Monday show.
It's the Monday show. I forget what it was called. It was.
Wait a second. There are other podcasts.
Other podcast episodes.
Episodes, not other podcasts. I wouldn't know anything about that.
Oh, okay, yeah. Just double checking.
So, Len, are you with me here on the all ready for our next call? Are you with me that there's no point to checking your ID when you drive into the resort, and they should just ask you why you're there? I'm here to eat at Artist Point. Last, go ahead.
The last time I was there, I was checking in. I was going to Trail's End for dinner. They looked at my ID. They wrote down my ID. They went, walked around all the way around my car.
Wow.
Worked on the driver's license. I'm doing, like, seriously. Dude, what are you doing?
Are you at
this first day on the job?
Were you at Fort Victory?
I know.
Wrong Fort.
I don't know what was going on there. But it happened, you know, when I checked into Caribbean Beach. It happened when I checked into Pop. It happened when I went to dinner at Trails.
Wait, did you bring your brother? Because that would explain it. Your brother-in-law, I should say.
Was it?
I think
your name's on a list.
My name might be on a list, exactly.
Didn't you have trouble during Tenfest, Len? You came in late, remember?
Yes, he did.
Yeah,
that was with the police, though. That was a completely different story.
that was the Orange County Sheriff?
It was the Orange County Sheriff episode.
Was it? Was it the fact that you were in a dark, unmarked, windowless van?
I swear, Dollar just gives this to me. I don't know why.
With an ice cream truck jingle blaring at the back,
and a satellite dish on top.
Yes, exactly.
Last call of the day is from New Jersey.
Yay!
Jersey.
Hi, who we speak?
Who we speak?
How you doing?
Hey, John.
John.
Hi. I'm from Jersey. Jersey John.
Yeah, you guys do a great show. I got a question for you. It's more of a crystal ball and why. Why is it, do you think, that Disney won't would expand people in the other hotels, like let's say the Swan and Dolphin and the Downtown Disney hotels, from buying the dining plan? I mean, it seems like that would encourage people to eat at their park and, you know, in their restaurants. Why is it?
Well, I think they want people to stay in their hotels. That's a primary reason. One of the things that Disney has been trying to do for, 20 years plus now, is trying to convince people to stay in their hotels. And while Swan and Dolphin and, you know, the Hilton and other hotels are technically on Disney property, they would prefer if you stayed at, you know, the Polynesian or at Pop Century, because they get far more profit out of that than they'll ever get for people staying at Swan and Dolphin. And by making the dining plan a perk for only resort guests, their resort guests, it's another incentive to stay at their hotel.
Yeah, but what happens, like us, periodically when we stay off property, though, especially for dinner, we go, heck, you know, let's just eat off property because, you know, we didn't buy the dining plan, so there's no real incentive, so they kind of lose money.
Len, do you want to take this? I mean, I understand what you're saying. I mean, you're saying
– Yeah.
So you're saying basically that you want to have the dining plan if you're staying not off property?
Yeah, especially one of the downtown Disney hotels or something like that.
I mean, it's a perk. It's like extra magic hours. It's the same reason they don't give you extra magic hours.
Yeah, I just don't see it happening, especially, the economy's getting a little bit better, but I just don't see it ever happening.
I think the other thing to remember is Disney has a lot of hotels to start off with. Yeah. So they have a lot of hotel rooms they can offer that dining plan to. If they went to all their Good Neighbor hotels and offered that dining plan, you'd have more people possibly on the dining plan than there were seats in the dining rooms.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. I agree with you on
that. Yeah. I mean, think about it, John. Look at your thought process there. It's like, wow, I'd really like to be able to do the dining plan, but the only way I can get the dining plan is if I stay on property. And what they're hoping is you're going to take that next step and say, okay, well, I'm going to stay on property so I can get the dining plan. And then they've got you. Hmm. That's their idea. I mean, that's the whole reason behind it. And that's exactly why they don't offer it on other hotels.
And they probably make up for the dining plan by, you know, having you pay rack rates, you know. So
I think one other thing is they know for people that are staying off property, they already know in the back of their minds they're going to eat off property. They're going to eat either breakfast or dinner, or they're going to already eat. But it really is a service for those people that are staying on property to get them to stay on property. So if they have Magical Express that brings you in, and now they're providing you your meals,
yeah, there you go.
Really have no need for a car, and you have no need to go to anywhere else in Orlando. You're on property, and you're theirs, yep. For lack of a better way of putting it.
Yeah, it's all part of their plan, John.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, John.
Okay. See you, John.
See you, John.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for us today. I want to remind all of our listeners that this live show of WGF Today has been sponsored by AllEars.net, your one-stop shop for Walt Disney World, the Disney Cruise Line, and Disneyland. All Ears has menus of all of the Walt Disney World restaurants, comprehensive photos of all the resorts, sections on traveling, the special challenges, and more. Be sure to subscribe to All Ears, a weekly email newsletter all about Walt Disney World, and join over 126,000 other subscribers who receive a dose of Pixie Dust in their inbox each week. Please be sure to visit allears.net today. I want to thank all our panelists for helping. It's Mike Newell, Mike Scopa, Len Testa, the Fabulous Lynette Owens, and Fred Block. And, of course, thank you all of our listeners for tuning in, chatting with us, calling in. Awesome. We always enjoy it, and we look forward to talking to you in February for our next live show. So, that's going to do it for us today. We'll see you on the next live show.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.